This is Impossible Things, Part 1. Story written by Morag McPherson, read by Rena Jenkins, cover art by Buffy Charmed. This is a Doctor Who Buffy the Vampire Slayer crossover. Story is rated PG-13. Author's note. Was looking at Buffy Charmed artwork series Slayer Who and stumbled across this little piece and got all inspired. Many thanks to her for the plot bunny. Takes place during Human Nature and Family of Blood for the Doctor, and Buffy comes from sometime during Season 8 comics, when she's figured out British currency. Obviously, I own none of the characters, and eventually some of Paul Cornell's dialogue will be cribbed. My apologies, but this is just too much fun to be for profit. Chapter 1. Go straight long enough. Weeping angels? Buffy remembered the fear in Willow's eyes when her friend gave the briefing. That's the form they take, yeah. There's at least three of them, maybe four, and they're in this house. You're going to want backup. Lots of it. Buffy hadn't wanted to endanger that many girls. She set out with Satsu and five others. 14 really speedy Slayer eyes, and we've all got nice shiny weapons. Still works if we see them in mirrors, right? Willow had nodded. Right. We'll bust them up, and if that doesn't work, have Xander order up a bunch of mirrors. Put enough of them around the house, eventually these creepy statue demons won't be able to look anywhere without seeing each other, and we'll be all set. In stone, even. Buffy really hoped that Plan B worked better than Plan A had. Plan A resulted in Buffy stuck in 1913. Buffy was not a fan of 1913. She'd never been a class warrior, but after 3 months, had decided she particularly hated England in 1913. Buffy had expected a Willow rescue attempt by now. Buffy was not even entirely sure that this was her 1913, given that this 1913 did not include a Watcher's Council. She really wished that she'd paid just a weensy bit more attention to Willow's research into the Weeping Angels, and whether or not the portals they opened were just temporal or dimensional as well. Buffy was tossed out of the Drones Club, the group which occupied the space which should, by all rights, have been the Watcher's headquarters. Buffy examined her pockets. She had only just figured out the decimalized version of British currency. She did not cry. She gritted her teeth. Buffy, who had no references, no family connections, and an American accent, got a job. Even when she was in high school, Buffy was never a huge fan of teenage boys, with the possible exception of Xander. None of the boys at Faringham School were even remotely Xander-shaped, and they had really, really dirty boots but that they tromped across floors that she'd just cleaned, and Mr. Clean hadn't even been born yet. Wanting to keep her job, Buffy did not break their miserable skulls. Instead, she scrubbed, saved, fended off the advances of Mr. Palmer, the creepy groundskeeper, and patrolled nightly against supernatural forces that never bothered to appear. Mostly, Buffy waited for some sign that she wasn't going to spend the rest of her life getting back to her own birth. At least once Martha joined the staff, Buffy had someone to talk to. Chapter 2. Gotta Know Right Now. It only took Buffy and Martha a week to figure out that they were both from the 21st century. They caught subtle clues. Buffy smelled modern shampoo in Martha's hair. Martha heard Buffy call Baines a little Nazi thug under her breath. Finally, while they were crouched over, waxing the banisters in relative privacy, Martha asked Buffy, "You know what I'd like right now?" "To use this stuff on the headmaster's bald spot?" Buffy rubbed harder. Martha smirked. "No, I want to get a couple of curries, sit down in front of the telly, and maybe watch a couple of Colin Firth movies." "Make it Orlando Bloom and we're on." Buffy winked, but her heart dropped a bit when Martha made a face. "He's way too pretty, boy." The reply filled Buffy with overwhelming joy, and she grinned at Martha. "So is that fluffy stick of nothing that you showed up with. Professor Smith. He from our time, too?" Martha's smile stiffened. "No, he's not. Don't even really know what time he's from." "Huh." Buffy moved down to the next step. "So what's your story? Stepped into the wrong sculpture garden? Or is this like Casablanca, except we're all refugees from other times and dimensions?" "Other dimensions?" Martha shook her head. "I'm pretty sure the TARDIS can't move between dimensions. I mean, it is a relative dimension, but we've never gone to a different dimension before." Buffy finished buffing her half and set her hands on her hips, facing Martha. "Well, I guess that just makes me special. Lucky me. If you're looking for a way back, though, I haven't found one, and I've been here 3 months already." Martha looked around. "I've got a way home. We can give you a lift. Just sit tight." Martha went back to work. Buffy picked her up by the waist and set her against the wall. "How tight? How long?" Martha's eyes widened. "You're awfully strong." "Gotta love those Pilates classes. When do we break out?" Martha looked into the smaller girl's green eyes. 3 more months. Not even. 11 more weeks. Then we can go home. Or at least, we can get you back to the right time. We'll have to ask the doctor about getting you to the right dimension." She and Buffy rushed to pick up their rags and get back to polishing, as a troop of boys headed back to the dorms, muddy boots ruining the afternoon's work. After they'd passed and Buffy glared sufficient daggers in their general direction, she turned her attention back to Martha. "Who's this doctor that's going to figure this all out? That Smith guy again?" Martha sighed. "Sort of." She looked around one last time. "Listen, I know a place with central heat and indoor plumbing. Let's finish this up, take a walk, and we can talk." "Deal." Buffy went to grab the scrubbing bucket with a new lightness in her step. Martha wondered aloud. Maybe the TARDIS even has a copy of Pirates of the Caribbean lying around. Chapter 3. I Don't Want You to Be Alone Down There. John Smith was certain that the entire convoluted dream, with all of its explosions and mysterious devices, would make absolute sense if only he had 5 more minutes in it. Instead, Buffy walked in his room with the tea tray. "Your class starts in 20 minutes, Professor Smith. If you want breakfast, better be quick about it." He shielded his eyes as Miss Summers pulled aside the curtains and sat up. She was an impertinent one, which most of the other teachers found irritating, and having been ripped from his dreams, so did he. "Well, put it down so that I can eat it." With a sideways smile, she set the tray in his lap. Recalling her appearance in his dream, he asked, "Where's Martha?" "Your security blanket? Some boys snuck back in through the chicken coops last night and forgot to fix the fence. Headmaster sent Martha and Jenny out to search and retrieve as many as they could." John laughed at the thought before he could stop himself. Buffy smiled, and he thought the room brightened up a touch more. "Eat up. I'll see if there's a bastinada somewhere around here you can use to whack the feathers off Hutchinson's shoes." "Bastinada requires bare feet, doesn't it?" The words were out of John's mouth before he knew what he was saying. "Look who knows his Turkish torture instruments. Your history class must be very interesting." Buffy finished tidying the previous night's tea tray and made to leave. "And how does a poor young American girl come by that sort of knowledge? You weren't always a maid, were you?" Buffy stopped short and turned to face him. I travel. John stood, leaving the tray untouched save for a triangle of toast, and regarded the girl. I've often dreamt of travel myself. Adventure, really. Buffy looked up at him as he drew closer. You dream? I dream I'm this daredevil, a madman. The Doctor, I'm called. All in the future. He caught a spark of something other than amused tolerance in her eyes, and halted. With little green men from Mars, right? Buffy held still. No, no, but I'm a man from another world. Not Mars, but some planet even further away. Buffy chuckled softly. I've seen some strange things in my travels, but I've never met a man from another world. His attention drifted to the mantle. That watch. He picked it up. It's funny how dreams slip away, isn't it? He replaced it, unopened, drawn back to Buffy's slim form. Buffy took the opportunity to turn back to the door. Well, if you'd bothered to open it, you'd see that you're actually a human who's about to be late for class. I'll let you get dressed, Professor. When Martha and Jenny returned to the kitchens, they were covered in feathers and mud. Hutchinson is going to pay, gritted Martha as she pulled more down out of her hair. Shh, said Jenny. The little bastard will take revenge, they hear talk like that, and you know whose side the headmaster will take. Her voice lowered further. Better just to dose their stew with castor oil tonight. Should keep them close to home. Martha laughed hard enough that Buffy figured castor oil would be suitable revenge. Jenny, can you hold the fort for a few minutes? I've got to take Martha to the washroom and get the rest of those feathers out. You are you? Jenny winked at them. Martha stopped laughing, and Buffy blushed. Go on ahead, she got the worst of it. Buffy dragged a still sputtering Martha to the washroom. Does she think... I mean, this is Edwardian England. I didn't think people thought this way back then. Buffy rolled her eyes. And you call yourself the time traveler. There's nothing new under the sun, Martha. No recalling former things either. Except, of course, for John Smith, who's dreaming about being a time-traveling alien called the Doctor. Did you know about that? She set about pulling feathers out of Martha's thick hair. No, we've got a solid month left before I'm due to open the watch. It's not safe yet. She set some water to warm in the kettle, washing just her hands in the icy water from the basin. Another month, muttered Buffy. You know, I've never met this guy, and I'm half convinced he set this whole thing up to make me suffer. You've never met the family of blood, either, and trust me, even scary Slayer girls would be afraid of them. John Smith seems more interested in looking down my shirt than saving the world. That's all I'm saying. Martha turned her head sharply. He what? Peeks down my uniform every time he thinks I'm not looking. Stupid, stuffy old men here, they're worse than the guys at my high school. Martha looked down. I'm sorry, the Doctor isn't like that. She poured some of the heated water into the basin and splashed her face with it. Hand me the borax, would you? Buffy pulled a scoop out of the canister. Sorry, I know you care about him. Martha took some of the powder and scrubbed her face with it while Buffy used it on her hair. Not your fault, said Martha as she rinsed her face and hair. It'll be nice to have cream rinse again, offered Buffy. Martha nodded. I'm gonna go get changed up, okay? You get back to Jenny. We don't need to give her any more ideas. Buffy watched her friend leave, then headed back to the kitchens where Jenny was busy peeling carrots. Jenny saw Buffy's concerned frown and clucked her tongue. Those sorts of things never last. Best to enjoy it and then move on, and don't let it affect the work. Buffy watched the surface of the stew burble. Yeah, right. Jenny handed her a knife. Unless, of course, she's just got that impossible dream of Professor Smith in her head. Don't know why she's so sweet on him. Head in the clouds half the time. Buffy shook her head. And the other half, staring at me, Jenny blanched. Ah, I see. Chapter 4. You've got the perfect disguise. Buffy could have kicked herself. She'd heard Martha talking about the Doctor. For the last 2 months, it was her favorite topic of conversation. But it was so hard to associate the heroic doctor who Martha sang praises of with John Smith, who put her in mind of Xander and Giles' love child. Now that was a disturbing thought, Buffy giggled. What is out that window that could be so amusing, Miss Summers? Buffy bit her lips together. Nothing, Professor Smith, just thinking of some friends from home. She turned to him and saw him juggling a pile of books. One fell from his hands, and she snatched it out of the air. John goggled at her reflexes, and Buffy took advantage. Here, let me. She took the bulk of the pile, leaving him with just one in each hand. You're quite strong, Miss Summers, and quite agile. Used to hang out in the library, Buffy deflected. Where are these going? John turned about, then decided on a corridor that was completely out of his way. Yes, this way, my office. So I was right then. You're educated, not a maid at all. Buffy kept her eyes down. I made it through school just fine. After my mother died, I decided I needed a change. Just ran out of money, that's all. Once I've got enough saved up, I'll find my way back home. So why didn't you find some more genteel work? As a governess, perhaps? Buffy smiled. I don't think I had the right education for that. Anyway, you English. You hear an American accent, and you automatically assume I'm Cletus, the slack-jawed yokel. John laughed. That's quite the expression. We're not all that bad, are we? Buffy just gave him a pointed look. I suppose we are. Well, I shan't again make the mistake of underestimating you simply because you wear a maid's outfit and speak with a colonial patois. Gee, thanks, Professor. They arrived at his office, and she set the books on his desk. He stood in the doorway, blocking her exit. You don't always have to call me Professor. Buffy put a hand on her hip. What exactly should I call you? He faltered. Well, Mr. Smith is slightly less, although I guess not more. I mean, as a maid, I could talk to the headmaster about your situation. What situation is that? John took a step back. I mean, you're working below your station. I have a station? Buffy took two steps towards him. Let me get this straight. You think that I am too good to scrub floors? John swallowed roughly, then replied in a slight squeak, Well, yes. Okay, but most of the time, Martha's your maid. Yes? Her eyes narrowed, and John suddenly felt like a hunted animal. And of the two of us, you think that I'm the one who's too smart to be scrubbing floors? Well, Martha's obviously a bright girl, but... But what? Barked Buffy. What exactly did I say to offend you? I apologize, honestly and sincerely, he tried, feeling pinned against the wall by her stare. After what seemed like an eternity, she looked back towards the window. You're just very... English. Product of your circumstances, I shouldn't blame you either. John caught his breath. I suppose I'm simply trying to understand you, Miss Summers. She looked very tired all of a sudden. Just call me Buffy, and I'll call you John when the boys can't hear, if that's what you want. I'd like that very much. He dared to walk around her to his desk, if it's not too familiar. No, it's not, murmured Buffy, leaning heavily on the back of a chair. Would you like to sit a moment? I won't tell the headmaster, but you look unwell. Should I call the matron? Buffy wiped her eyes with the back of her hand. No, I should get back to work. John shut the door, then took Buffy's hand and pulled the seat out for her. It will mean no trouble for you, I promise. Why do I not trust promises of no trouble from you? I've no idea, replied John with a smile. An item on his desk triggered his memory. You were the one I spoke to about my dreams. Easing into the chair, Buffy sighed. Yes, I was. He picked up a slim journal from the desk. I have written down some of these dreams in the form of fiction. Not that it would be of any interest. Buffy exhaled the breath of someone about to jump off a cliff. I'd love to read them. She took the book and leafed through it. It looks very exciting. He spent a few minutes explaining a number of the illustrations and Buffy seemed very understanding of the strange terminology he used. She was just so comfortable to talk to, even if she was a maid. Afterwards, Buffy slipped out of the office, the journal in her hand. Martha lurked in the shadows, but Buffy knew she was there. "He wrote it all down, here. All the things you told me about, he dreams them." She offered the book to Martha. "Would you like to read it?" "Not really. I've lived it." Buffy flinched at the harshness in Martha's voice. "Anything else interesting happen?" "No, not really." Martha turned away. "Fine. We're late for supper service." Buffy's heart broke a little bit, but she straightened her shoulders and followed the best friend she had. That night, Buffy pulled on her boots. "Where are you going?" asked Martha from beneath the sheets.
"Patrol."
"There's never anything out there." Buffy finished with her laces. "Keeps me in practice. Maybe the family of Bloods lurking out there tonight." Martha rolled over. "Buffy, I'm sorry about this afternoon. It's just, I've never seen him look at anyone the way he stares after you."
"He's got lousy taste," offered Buffy.
Martha laughed, then sobered. "No, he doesn't." Buffy laid a hand over Martha's. "He's not even him right now, and I'm not going to encourage him. It's just, he turns on those damn puppy dog eyes." "I know exactly what you..." "What was that?" A flash of green swooped across the sky. Martha grabbed Buffy's arm as she moved towards the window. "Don't go on patrol. You don't know what you're dealing with." Buffy pulled Martha's hand off gently and swung one leg over the sill. "Well, neither will they. Don't wait up." With a wink, she dropped out of sight. Chapter 5. Hands and knees felt cold and wet on the grass. The clearing near Cooper's Field was disappointing, until Buffy spied Baines emerging out of nowhere, in a very literal sense. He sniffed the air a couple times, and Buffy checked to make sure that she was downwind. Yep, she sniffed a few times herself. Baines no longer smelled of turn-of-the-century acne cream and smug superiority. Now it was smug superiority and something else, something alien and other that made her feel slimy inside. She kept an eye on his departure and moved toward the blank space he'd emerged from. As she grew closer, though, she was hit by an intense case of vertigo. She dropped to her knees and was sick in the grass. "That's new." She crawled back to the woods, feeling slightly better every inch she moved away from the clearing. Keeping her ears open, she followed Baines back to the school. He didn't do anything more suspicious than usual, so, making sure she wasn't being watched, Buffy scaled the wall, climbing back into the window. Martha stood up. "What was it?" "Couldn't figure it out. Once I got close enough, I got sick. The space was all wrong. But Baines came out of it." The vertigo returned with a vengeance, and Buffy doubled over. Martha straightened her out and sat her down on the bed. "Hold on. You're worse than the doctor when he gets going properly." Martha handed Buffy a glass of water from the basin, then lit the lamp. "Now, what's this about Baines?" "Don't think he's Baines anymore. Probably an improvement, the racist shithead. But he was giving off weird alien vibes." Buffy took a long swallow of water. "At least, I think they might have been alien vibes. I don't really have that much experience with them." Martha sat down on the bed next to Buffy, feeling her forehead. "You're all sweaty." Buffy smiled bitterly. "Not used to being sick. It was strange. There's this clearing, and there's nothing in it, except for the invisible thing Baines came out of, and when I tried to get near it, I popped." She finished the water. "I can't remember the last time I was sick like that. The whole space, it was wrong. There's no other word for it." She shuddered, and Martha gave her a tight hug. "I don't like the sound of this, and you claim that you never get sick."
"I don't," replied Buffy, "except for right now."
Martha stood, crossing her arms. "Are you good for a quick hike to the barn?
I'd rather have you inexplicably ill there than here. And maybe there's something in the doctor's instructions. There isn't. Martha bit her lip. It's no warmer in here than it is out there, and you've got to be a couple of degrees warmer than normal. You'll feel better in the TARDIS, and I'll feel better about everything in there. Buffy looked up at her. Well, I'm the one who's dressed for going out, not you. Grab your coat. While Martha got dressed, Buffy got to her feet, still shifting her weight from side to side. She was glad when Martha came over and she could use her friend as a crutch. Together, they tiptoed downstairs, out the courtyard, and down the road to the barn where the TARDIS lay concealed. As they passed through town, a familiar voice called to them from the shadows. Anything wrong, ladies? It's far too cold to be wandering about in the dark. A light fell on their faces. Ah, Buff, I mean Miss Summers and Miss Jones. Lovely night, isn't it? It is, Professor Smith, responded Martha. Did you see the meteorite earlier? John tilted his head. I must have missed it. It looked like it fell close by, sir. Buffy and I were just going to see if we could find where it landed. They always look close, but they're usually miles away, and even then there's nothing left but a cinder. He peered closer at Buffy. I do say, Miss Summers, are you feeling quite all right? Right as rain, Professor. Martha discreetly propped Buffy up higher. She's the one who had this foolish idea for an adventure. Can't ignore rocks falling from overhead. All your crazy folk will start dropping dead, muttered Buffy. Martha pasted on a taut grin. Buffy, I love your American folk verses, but I doubt the professor here has time for them. John cast them a skeptical look. Are you certain that I cannot escort you ladies home? No, we're fine, replied Martha. Buffy nodded vigorously for good measure. Then I shall bid you good night. Martha curtsied to both of them. Good night, sir. Buffy felt a pinch. Good night, Professor. As soon as John was out of earshot, they continued down the road. Just a few short blocks to the barn. Could you have played the damsel in distress card a little harder? Teased Martha. Sorry, not feeling so hot here. Martha looked down and saw the sweat pouring down Buffy's brow. Right then. Martha basically carried Buffy the last 50 meters to the TARDIS. Come on, stay with me. She got the door unlocked and pulled Buffy in. Heaving breaths, she whispered, Hello, TARDIS. The warmth was a delightful change. Buffy rested her head against the railing, falling out. I think I can get to the captain's chair. Good, because at least one of us in here doesn't have super strength. Martha headed to the console while Buffy hobbled to the bench and laid down. Here. Martha pulled the doctor's coat over Buffy's shivering body. Thanks. Smells good. She curled up and dozed off. Martha checked her temperature, which was 39 degrees Celsius. Not a good sign. She pricked Buffy's finger and put a slide into the mostly dormant TARDIS. The TARDIS sleepily diagnosed Aubertide allergy, a reaction to one of the chemicals in the exhaust from a certain class of cloaking device, and prescribed a sort of antihistamine. Martha found the spray in the first aid kit and convinced Buffy to wake up long enough to inhale it. She returned to her reading and found that humanoids were not typically allergic to Aubertide. In fact, the only life forms the TARDIS knew of that experienced Aubertide allergies were energy-based. Martha looked back at the smaller girl. She hadn't been crazy when she went on about Banes appearing out of nowhere. Now it looked like she wasn't crazy when she talked about being a slayer. Martha wished, not for the first time, that the doctor was here to explain what all of this meant. She listened to his message again. Not a word about slayers or Aubertide allergies. Lucky for me, I watched you work this machine a time or two. Lucky for Buffy, I'm a quick study. She played the last bit again. It's all down to you, Martha. It's your choice. Oh, and thank you. Martha stepped back and slumped onto the free bit of the bench and patted her friend's head. He looks down your shirt again, and I'm feeding him pears. She sighed, leaning her head back. I just wish he'd come back. Chapter 6.
Laugh hard. It's a long way to the bank. Martha consulted with Buffy in the pre-dawn hours over a breakfast of frosted chocolate sugar puffs from the TARDIS kitchen. "You think we should open the watch now?" repeated Buffy in between slurps of sludgy chocolate-sweetened milk. "Yes, I do. The ship is obviously the family. They've found us. Time to bring the doctor back and have him bring the hammer down." The sight of Martha munching on sugary cereal while talking about aliens was a little surreal to Buffy, but then again, how many times had she discussed the apocalypse over donuts? On the other hand, Buffy could only have been 10 the last time she ate Cocoa Puffs. She pondered Martha's statement for a minute while pouring her third bowl. What happened to, "We have to wait until it's safe"? Well, it's obviously not safe anymore, and you can't get within 20 meters of their ship without tossing your lunch across the meadow. Buffy gave Martha a cross stare. Eating right now? Sorry. Anyway, you're out of commission, and I'm lacking in the superpowers department. Sounds like time to bring back the doctor to me. Martha let the spoon slip out of her fingers. Buffy looked down at her bowl. You're not wrong, she breathed out. So, what's the deal then? We sneak into his room and I hold him down while you open the watch in his face? I doubt it will be that dramatic, Martha made a face. We'll grab the watch while he's off at class, then we can show it to him when he returns for lunch. Then what? Then he can come up with a better plan, and we won't have to spend any extra energy trying to save him from himself. Martha set her bowl in the sink, turned, and watched Buffy, who seemed to want to say something, but simply nodded. You sure you're fully recovered? Buffy held up her spoon, grasped it by the handle, and drove the bowl of it through the table. Martha flinched. The table was 2 inches of solid hardwood thick. The spoon's handle quivered for a few seconds. Looks like my strength's back.
I guess.
I just feel a little groggy, that's all. Martha tipped her head back. Impressively built spoon. Buffy looked at it. Nice craftsmanship, she agreed. Together, they walked back to the school, arriving just a few minutes after sunrise. Buffy apologized to Jenny for being so late for breakfast service. Jenny snorted. Barely takes one person to put the student slop together, don't mind you. You two have another one of your special ladies' late nights? She asked with a waggle of her eyebrows. Martha clucked her tongue, tying on her apron. Jenny, I told you to stop that. Buffy was simply sick last night. That slimy git Baines coughed on her deliberately. Try to steer clear of him today. If he gets sick like Buffy was, he'll be an even more miserable prat than usual. As if that were possible, chuckled Jenny. Now, Buffy, if you're feeling under the weather, there's warm porridge and hot tea already made up for the headmaster. I can put another tray together in a flash if you'd be served better by it. Buffy collected the tray in question, along with 2 others. Thanks, Jenny. We already ate. I'll be fine, just need to get back to work. I'll take faculty service today, though, if that's okay. I don't think I can face Baines this morning. She gave Martha a pointed look, then headed off. Martha busied herself with student service, chatting merrily with Jenny for what she was afraid might be the last time. The saucy maid was one of the few things she'd miss about the stopover. Martha was just putting the last of the dishes into the wash basin when Buffy found her. You're still looking pale, Buffy. Maybe I should get you another dose. Buffy cut her off by holding up her hand. What? John Smith had already gone to class by the time I showed up with his tray. Martha frowned. So? Buffy grabbed Martha's hands, squeezing them painfully. The watch wasn't there, she hissed. Martha felt the blood draining out of her face. It's gone. Chapter 7. I might disintegrate into thin air if you like. They finished preparations for lunch, then Buffy pled illness.
I just need to get some fresh air, I think. Jenny sent her off to town with a shopping list, and Buffy took a brief detour to the firing range. Permission? Keep John Smith from returning to his room, while Martha tossed it for the pocket watch.
She also had to keep him and herself away from Baines, in case the family's sense of smell could detect anything odd about them. Until the watch was safely located, she was forbidden to confront him unless cornered. Martha had been very firm about that, and Buffy was willing to concede the point, for now. Buffy covered her ears as she approached the range, and pondered the surrealism of her situation. The school had a firing range. When she thought of the amount of grief Jonathan bringing a single gun to campus had given her, she sent up a short, silent prayer to wherever Jonathan's soul had gone off to. She was almost fond of Andrew these days. Jonathan never had a chance to redeem himself. The boys here might not either. Martha's second favorite subject of conversation over the last 2 months had been the fact that most of these boys were destined to die in the Great War that loomed just around the corner. It was downright heartbreaking, and almost enough to make Buffy forgive them for their rude behavior toward the maids, and especially towards Martha. Almost. She malingered on the path until the class finally finished session and the boys filed out. One of the younger boys looked at her oddly, but the rest ignored her as per usual. Thankfully, Baines appeared to have skipped artillery practice, or at least skipped out early to do dastardly deeds. Finally, Professor Smith made his way towards her, tossing a confiscated cricket ball as he walked. "Miss Summers, may I ask what brings you out of your way?" Buffy put on her best simper. "I'm on my way to town with the weekend shopping list. I was wondering if you'd like to join me?" She leaned in closer. "I'm still not feeling so great, John, and I'd enjoy the company." The sudden puff of his chest would have been sweet and very charming if she hadn't manipulated him straight into it. "Buffy," he said softly, offering her his arm, "it would be an honor." She looked up into his eyes and admitted deep inside that it still felt a bit sweet. "Thank you." She kept her strides small, maintaining the hilarious illusion of feminine weakness. If only Willow and Xander could see her now. Or worse, Spike and Angel. If the prank with the immortal had been bad, she could only imagine their reaction to her fawning over hapless John Smith. Actually, given Spike's past, he might take it as a sign of hope. John kept peppering her with questions about her past. Buffy found herself enjoying finding ways to word her responses that were true, but still time-appropriate, and which didn't give up her identity as a slayer. She bought herself time by turning his questions back on him. Even though she knew the real him, the doctor him, through conversations with Martha and by reading his journal, Buffy hadn't realized how much history of the TARDIS and the chameleon arc thingy had provided to this John Smith identity. By the time they reached the end of her list, Buffy learned that John wanted to go tour the Napoleonic battlefields he taught about, but hadn't yet, even though he swore he could actually picture the battles in his mind's eye. His favorite color was green, and he despised beets. He loved Byron's poetry, but he had a private weakness for Poe. He could imagine working at Faringham the rest of his life. It was satisfying work, but there was something off-putting to him about the concept that he couldn't put his finger on. He'd also never dated a girl, or, in his phraseology, courted anyone. Buffy shook her head as she loaded several loaves of bread into her basket. "I find that hard to believe." John's blush somehow found a way to deepen. "Well, Buffy, you may find it equally hard to believe that I sometimes find it difficult to speak with women." "Ah, now that makes a little more sense. But still, you've got to be 30 years old. There wasn't even a high school sweetheart." John frowned. "Can we please talk about something else?" "Fine," laughed Buffy. "So, other than tromping around old battlefields, cramming teenagers' heads full of history, and helping me with the grocery shopping, what do you want to do with yourself?"
I'm not sure. I'd like to do something worthwhile. Make a small difference, you know, nothing too ambitious. For the first time in the conversation, he appeared distracted from her. But something special, in its own small way. Buffy turned towards where he was staring, and saw how it was all going to unfold. The rope lifting the piano was frayed, the baby carriage was rickety and slow, and the brim on the mother's hat was too damn wide. She had no idea what she was going to walk into. Buffy dropped her basket and started running toward them. It was too late, but she had to try. John Smith, on the other hand, apparently had an eye for the bigger picture. Buffy saw the ball hit the poles, and the chain reaction that stopped the carriage short of where the piano landed explosively. She slid feet first into the mud to stop herself, and shielded her face from the splinters and ivory shards that flew in her direction. When she drew her arm down, she saw John, holding her basket and extending his hand towards her. She took it, pulling herself up. "You're very fast," he said softly, his eyes wide. "Not as fast as you, I guess." Buffy couldn't quite bring herself to look up at him, and fussed with her muddy skirts instead. "I wouldn't make a very good lady," she admitted. He tilted her chin up towards him with a finger. "Buffy, it occurs to me that I don't care." Buffy realized that his eyes went on forever, and his lips looked gentler than she dared to imagine. "There's a dance tonight, in town. I agree with you. It's about time that I dated a girl. Come with me." Buffy struggled to find words, and she stepped back, looking down, breaking the spell of his eyes. I'm a maid. People will talk. Bad talk. Besides, I don't have anything to wear, and bad things happen when I go on dates, wild packs of angry dogs being the least of them. John's courage faltered. "Oh, all right then." They walked back toward the school in awkward silence, while Buffy's mind raced a million miles a second. Around the corner from the school, there was no one around, and Buffy tugged on his sleeve. "Yes?" "I'll go." He looked down at her.
"You will?"
She nodded. "Yep, I thought of a place I can find a dress."
"I see. And the wild packs of angry dogs?"
"After that display back there, I'll pack a cricket ball in my purse just in case."
"And a sharp knife in her bodice, but he didn't need to know that part. She just grinned at him. In turn, a rather dopey-looking smile blossomed across his face.
John took her hand and wrapped it around his arm, covering her fingers with his other hand, until they reached the gates and Buffy drew away. "This is our stop. I've got to head to the servants' entrance."
"Right."
She turned to go, but his hand on her shoulder stilled her. She turned back. "What?" The word had barely escaped her lips when they were covered by his, and after a moment's pang, she let her eyes close, and her fingers drift to the silky hair at the nape of his neck. A few sweet seconds passed, and at just the right time, but entirely too soon, he pulled away.
"I look forward to seeing you tonight," he murmured. With a tilt of his head, he walked away.
Buffy took a few minutes to catch her breath. "Son of a bitch says he's never had a date? God help us all." When she felt sufficiently recovered, she walked over to the servants' entrance and into the kitchens. Jenny wasn't there, so she unpacked the groceries and started fixing supper. About a half hour later, Martha wandered into the kitchen.
"Any luck?" asked Buffy, already knowing the answer from her slumped shoulders and dour expression.
Martha simply shook her head and started slicing bread.
"I'm going to start searching the dormitories tonight. Do you mind playing bodyguard for a little while longer?"
"No," Buffy replied, weighing her options before deciding that Martha should know the truth. Or at least most of it. Maybe she should wait until Martha wasn't holding the knife. She sighed. "There's actually something I should tell you." Chapter 8. Not the Gravity Plan. Martha froze in her tracks as she heard creaking boards behind her. She'd been so distracted, looking in vain for the watch amongst bootlegged beer bottles and candy bars in the boys' chests, all of it overlaid with the image of Buffy walking out into the night on the doctor's, no, not the doctor's, John Smith's arm, in that awful lacy slip of a nothing dress. Now she was screwed, caught pawing through the dormitories, and probably fired. She peered back over her shoulder and let out a sigh of relief. "Jenny, what are you doing here? Where have you been?"
"Nowhere."
Martha twisted her hands together. "Well, we'd best get out of here before anyone else wanders through. Scared me half to death, you did."
"Were you searching for something?"
"Me? No, just trying to distract myself from thinking about Buffy and Professor Smith." Martha noticed that Jenny was having no trouble keeping up with her long, nervous strides. Jenny had circulation problems and bad ankles.
"Why?"
Martha smiled weakly. "Oh, well, she's almost saved up enough to go home. Booked herself passage for next month. She's already purchased the ticket. It'll be sad, that's all. I'll be stuck picking up the pieces yet again. Last time he had his heart broken, we had to move, and we probably will again." They'd arrived at the servants' quarters. Martha leaned back against her door.
"Where shall you move to?"
"Oh, we've traveled all over, lots of places."
"Tell me."
Martha felt behind herself for a nod, her mind racing. "Oh, Jenny, I will. But first, I've got to take out my contact lenses."
"Certainly. Do come right back," said Jenny. Or rather, the thing that looked like Jenny.
Martha's heart sank, but she shut the door behind her and grabbed her coat off the hook. No time, not enough time. And where the hell was the damn watch? She pulled the window open and looked down the two stories to the courtyard. Martha drew in a deep breath as she swung one leg over the sill. Buffy did this all the time. It couldn't be that bad. The knob on the door began to turn, so Martha squeezed her eyes shut and pushed off. There was a ledge above the first floor window that she used to slow her descent, but she basically bumped off of it as she heard the laser blast hit the window from above her. Martha wound up doing a rolling landing, all of the air coming out of her, but she had no time to catch her breath, and she rolled into the shadows. She looked up. The thing wearing Jenny's face was scanning the courtyard, turned back with a disappointed huff. Martha waited three beats, then crept out of the courtyard. Watches be damned, there had to be some other way to wake up the doctor's memories. On the way out, she bumped into Tim Latimer, one of the younger students, who, if he hadn't exactly been kind to her, had never been deliberately cruel. "Oh, sorry." The boy stepped back a bit more than was necessary to regain his balance. "Martha?" But she waved him off, beginning to run. "Not now, Tim. I'm busy." Her left ankle felt wobbly. Her knees were going to be bruised, and she may have dinged a rib or two. Buffy did it every damn night. She was so going to pay for making it look easy, amongst other things. Martha ignored the pain and booted it to the barn and the TARDIS. It was so lifeless, but so normal inside. Martha felt a twinge in her ribs and leaned against the captain's chair, staring down at the doctor's coat. The doctor at the dance, and Buffy, were just up the road. If she could just find the right thing to trigger him, they might come through this okay. A thought occurred to her. She began rifling through his coat pockets. When she finally found it, she clutched the sonic screwdriver to her chest. She wasn't afraid for her life. Martha had seen Buffy's talents, her strength and her determination. Buffy was every ounce a hero. But if Martha couldn't get the doctor back? She locked the TARDIS behind her, checking the lock twice. This would work. Had to. Chapter 9. Wild Packs of Family Dogs. "You're not looking at me."
Buffy started for a moment, then looked up at John while they swirled together across the floor.
Oh, sorry.
Still looking out for those wild dogs, are you? Laughed John, glancing at the entryway. Yet, somehow, you managed to float on the floor. Buffy pressed her lips together. Yeah, well, waltzing is... I used to ice dance as a kid. This is a lot harder on skates. Ice dancing? Sounds like a wonderful pastime. It's a pity it hasn't come to Britain yet, said John. Is that where you developed those remarkable reflexes of yours? Sort of. Buffy was starting to feel a little queasy. Martha was going to find that watch any moment now, and then John would be gone, and then they would kick some alien butt, and then she'd go home, and this would all be a horrible nightmare, and she'd be back at the castle all alone again without his stupid, priggish, handsome, tender-hearted man looking down at her with those stupid, gentle eyes and that ridiculous, sweet smile on his face. She couldn't look at it anymore. This was wrong, and she felt her stomach turn over as she remembered Martha's brittle smile as she helped Buffy search the TARDIS wardrobe this evening. They weren't dancing anymore. Are you feeling ill again, Buffy? Asked John, his hands on her elbows. No, I'm peachy keen. Can we sit? She gently guided him to a corner table, where she had a clear view of all the entrances. He excused himself to get them drinks, and Buffy kept one eye on him and one eye on the doors. As she saw Martha rush in, she leapt up and dragged her friend to the corner. Did you find it? No, hissed Martha. They got to Jenny, and I think I may have been followed. Buffy blanched. You led them here? Look at all these people. If things get ugly, we are totally screwed. Here is where you were. That's not my fault, snapped Martha. Buffy looked down, and Martha's whisper softened. I didn't know where else to go. They were shooting at me, and I think I have an idea how to get the doctor back. Buffy blinked. How? Martha pulled out a small pen-like device. Sonic screwdriver. Next to the TARDIS, I can't think of anything else in the universe he loves more. He'll remember it. Buffy stared at it. Where did you get that? In his coat, in the TARDIS. When? Just now. Buffy palmed her face. So you didn't just lead them here, you showed them where the TARDIS is? Martha felt her heart drop into her stomach. Oh, no. No, we'll get there first. It'll be fine. I've just got to get these people out of here before the family comes looking around. Is there a fire alarm anywhere? There you are. John came up from behind Buffy. Ah, and Martha, it's a pleasant surprise to see you here. Buffy turned around slowly. Oh, John, you're here. And there's drinks. She took the glass out of his hand and downed the punch in one swallow. How many people would you say are in here? 40, maybe, she muttered, pulling her hair up and tying it behind her head. 53, he replied without thinking, a stunned look coming across his face as he realized what he said. Buffy nodded, leaning down. Great. So, John, listen. And she paused while she tore a slit up the center of her skirt. Martha's got something really important to tell you. Pay really close attention. And I'm just gonna go, do something about this crowd. Don't, she pointed her finger at him, run off anywhere without me. She glanced at Martha. No matter what. She poked John in the chest one more time for emphasis. And don't talk to strangers. I'll be right back. She nodded to Martha, then skirted to the side of him and disappeared down the hall. John simply stared after her, his mouth slightly ajar. She's a very strange woman. Martha snorted. You've no idea. Meanwhile, Buffy had found the kitchens, a tin wash tub, and some rags. After scaring the kitchen staff out, she piled the rags in the wash tub in the center of the room, poured some lamp oil onto them, then lit a match and tossed it in. There were some vegetable scraps, and she dumped them on top. After a few short minutes, the whole kitchen began to fill with a very satisfying, if slightly stinky, black smoke that hopefully wouldn't catch on to anything. She ran back to the dance hall, shouting, "Fire!" Several of the partygoers in the parlor were already rushing out the door. The smoke was only just beginning to leak into the main hall. A blonde head lingered in one of the corners. It was that kid who'd stared at her earlier in the day. What was his name? Jim or something? Maybe Baines had gotten to him. She noted his position, but first she had to retrieve John and Martha. John was shouting at Martha, who looked like she'd been sucking on a series of lemons. "It's just a storybook, you see, Martha." "No, it's not! This is a sonic screwdriver! Now hold it, Doctor, and remember who you are!" Martha tried to pull his hand up to place the screwdriver in it, but he snatched his hand away. "Martha, I am John Smith, and I see how you could have gotten confused." Martha's shoulders squared off. "I'm very sorry, Doctor." Buffy flinched when Martha pulled back and slapped John across the face. "Remember!" John recovered, rubbing his cheek. "Buffy, can you help me get your friend under control?" Buffy looked to Martha, who just shook her head, the beginning of tears threatening to spill down her cheeks. "Martha's fine. It's a dance, I'm here, and so, according to tradition, I've just set a fire. We need to go. Now would be good." She took his hand and tried to pull him along, but he pulled back, his eyes wide. "Do you believe in her nonsense?" Buffy tilted his chin down toward her. "I've never met the doctor. All I've got is Martha's word, and yours, that he's some kind of hero. But she's my friend, and so are you, John. And in case you didn't notice, I set a fire, and this room is starting to get a little smoky. So can we please continue this conversation outside?" Martha coughed twice. "I agree." John nodded, then paused, frowning. "Why did you set a fire?" "No time. Now is the time for the running." Buffy took his hand and turned to run. Unfortunately, Baines, Jenny, a portly old guy, and a genuinely creepy little girl with the red balloon were standing between them and the exit. A number of scarecrows were somehow lurching in behind them. Buffy dropped John's hand as the creepy girl pointed at him. "Him. He's the doctor. I heard them talking." Baines sniffed. "He took human form." Then a puzzled look crossed his face, and he sniffed again. "And what on earth is she?" Buffy had this sudden feeling of being the center of attention. She simpered and batted her eyelashes. She drew her right hand to her chest, toying with her decolletage, and finding the handle of her knife. Martha, eyes watering from the smoke, wanted very badly to laugh as Buffy said sweetly, "Oh, I think you're about to find out."